Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you had a good weekend. It's good to be back here with you today on Call to Action Radio. This is Steve Noble, and, who else would it be, really? I mean, occasionally when I'm on the road, and even when I'm on the road, I can take some of this equipment with me, and I almost always do the show when I'm traveling, and I'll be doing that again next week. So next week, we'll play a little bit of Where's Waldo as I take off on another set of travel plans. I got 2 weeks in a row, actually. So next week, I will be in back in the Midwest, where I used to live for 16 years of my life, turning, how old am I going to be this year? 51 later this month. So a decent chunk of my life spent in the Midwest, in Michigan, and then Illinois, and then Ohio. So with Harvest Crusades, Harvest America, Pastor Greg Laurie, I'll be out there next week, swinging through Indiana, and then Illinois, and then Missouri. So I got a four-day swing there as we continue to work towards Harvest America, which is really a nationwide evangelistic outreach event that we do with Pastor Greg, which will be at the Cardinal Stadium in Phoenix. So a massive venue there. I think it's 65,000 seats, and it's live local crusade there, but then a nationwide crusade. We've had last year when we did it in Dallas, we had about 7,000 host locations around the country. So I'm working with doing some stuff with the Southern Baptist Convention and some state leaders that I'm trying to meet with face to face. So that's what I'll be doing next week. But each day I'll be doing the show from the road. And then the following week, I'll be down in Orlando, Florida for a few days for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Got some great interviews lined up for that. Steve Green of the Hobby Lobby family. We're going to be talking about Museum of the Bible. George Barna. Barna Research over all these years has a big report coming out. And working on some other interviews while I'm there, so excited about that. So I just drag you along with me, Where's Waldo, and figure out where I happen to be at any given time, which can be an interesting game to play. But today we're going to do Money Monday, which we would have done normally last week, but our good friend David Fisher was not feeling particularly excellent, nor was his voice last Monday, so we're glad you're feeling better. David, welcome back to Call to Action. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing so much better, Steve. Thank you for asking. And, actually I have a voice. So.
That's helpful when you do radio, because you do a lot of nationally syndicated radio programs, and appreciate you bringing information to a lot of different folks. How many different shows are you on a regular basis, David?
There's a little over 2 million people, 2.5 million people hear me every week, around 800 stations, maybe 850, and it's... I don't know how many people I'm now on doing Money Monday shows. There's three of them, yourself included, and a few other national programs want to have me on their show regularly, or some not irregularly, but the number and the list keeps growing, it seems like.
Are they gonna send me a check or something for the Money Monday update idea?
Yeah, that's a great thing. We should have had you copyright that and get the trademark benefits.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better, and it's great having you back on. And by the way, everybody, we do Money Monday, so we do the updates. Usually the first Monday of the month, we spend the whole hour with David Fisher at Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, of course, is their website. And then we do a short little update, the last segment of each show on the Mondays in between that. And oftentimes people will say, hey, you know, it's Christian radio show, all that kind of stuff. And people occasionally wonder, well, you know, why do you do a whole show on finance? Well, Jesus talked about finances a whole lot, and you see it not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. So I've always considered if it's good enough for Jesus, it's definitely good enough for us. And he knows where money can play a role in our lives, both for the good and the bad. And so stewardship becomes a big issue of every aspect of a Christian life. And that's why we have David on as often as we do to help us with the wisdom that we need to be good stewards of the finances that he's given us. So always great to have David back in. So let's talk about the update. Let's just start with what's going on in the markets, David, because it's been, you just look at the last 5 or 6 days, and every day up, 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 up. So what's happening today? Where are we at with the markets?
Yeah, exciting. The Dow is at 20,420 points. The S&P 500 set a record high today of being worth $20 trillion. So that's a huge thing. And, you know, the NASDAQ keeps plugging away, too. So we're having definitely, like I said in your program at the beginning of the year, we're going to have a bull market in stocks. We're also having it in gold. Gold is, and silver are off a little bit today, but let's give the numbers year-to-date. They're pretty astounding. Gold is up 6.2% year-to-date. You know, that's, we're a month and a half into this thing. Silver, 11.3%.
Wow.
So almost twice as much as gold. And the Dow, only 2.9%, yet it's getting all this hurrah news. So and putting into perception... putting into comparison percentage-wise, gold is outperforming the Dow twice as much and silver almost a little over three times as much, almost four times.
Yeah, that certainly should be getting our attention as we consider what to do with our investment dollars. And oftentimes we don't think about precious metals. And you and I have talked about this numerous times on the air, and I know you've been dealing with it for years. You know, you hear a lot of gold and silver type advertising and programming on the air, and you just don't realize, who's telling me the truth, who isn't, if it's just kind of people buying airtime in order to sell their stuff, or are there some really trusted sources on there, which is why, for me, working with David as my Christian brother and a friend, he brings that kind of wisdom to the show, which is why we continue to do it. But on that note, with precious metals, you mentioned this before, we'll be on the break here in about a minute and a half, David, but you mentioned before something happening worldwide that's going to really impact the gold market and that the large part of the world will soon be able to invest in gold. So what's going on with that? That sounds like an interesting kind of headline.
Yeah, gold law that's going to impact 1.6 billion people, 32 major central banks, and 112 billionaires. Is going to bring, according to Standard & Poor's, an estimated $3 trillion could flood into the gold market beginning March 31st. And what I'm referring to is the Accounting and Auditing Organization for Islamic Financial Institutions. Say that fast real quick. The AAOIFI. In other words, an organization for the Islamic culture. They established with the World Gold Council officially last year on December 5th, of 2016, the agreement so that, and the right verbiage, so now the Muslim community can invest legally under Sharia law, their religion criteria. They can invest in gold without breaking religious laws. And so this is going to open the door huge to a whole nother buying sector of gold.
Yeah, I got a couple more questions on that because I've looked it up and seen some headlines here and there that are really all in agreement about this being a huge player, the potential huge player in the upside in the gold market, and an interesting law out of Islam in terms of buying gold. We'll talk about that next. We'll talk about Dodd-Frank and what President Trump is doing on that one when we talk to David Fisher right back after this break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Good reminder there for my buddy Matt Papa. Jesus is Lord. And because he's Lord, we listen to him when he says anything about anything. And he definitely had a lot to say about money. He knew that it was a challenging issue for our hearts. And we see that. I've just finished reading Ecclesiastes in my morning time recently. Just went through the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon, of course, learned all about that. He chased it. His heart was wrong. And in the end, he figures it out, the wisest man that ever lived. It boils it all down to that E.F. Hutton moment. And you sit there and go, well, here's the whole end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. After all that life and everything he tried and every delicacy he dipped his tongue into everything he built, everything. But his heart wasn't right. And that's why at the end of the matter, he said, it's all vanity. Vanity is chasing after the wind. And in the end, he got his heart right. And that's why he said, fear God and keep his commandments. So we pay attention to what God says about everything here on Call to Action Radio. And one of those areas, of course, is in finances, which is why we do Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. The website is always landmarkgold.com, landmarkgold.com for education and information. They really have a great relationship with the Call to Action audience and serve them well in offering that kind of information and education. And then you decide what to do with it. But it's great service there, and they really care about our audience on Call to Action. LandmarkGold.com, or the phone number is always 844 844- 877-879-8882. So what was the whole thing with the Islamic change in dealing with gold? I was reading up on it during the break, David. Now, the pro-gold law was first adopted on November 19th, and they went on to talk about Islamic law sees gold as a substance sold by its weight and measures, a commodity that must be immediately exchanged in equal amounts. And you start reading up on that. And, they're kind of dealing with interest rates and making money that way. And so gold, because it goes up and down, they always said you can't have it. But now all of a sudden they say you can. Did anybody kind of see this coming, or was this just strictly an Islamic thing? And then all of a sudden the rest of the financial world found out about it.
Well, the CEO of the World Gold Council has been working with the Islamic community, because historically the Islamic community have been buyers of gold, but they haven't been able to buy gold for 42 years. So, there's different interpretations that was done, over 42 years ago where they're allowed to buy metals. But since then, the world has changed financially, and so they rewrote laws, and now they're restructuring the law again with the CEO of the World Gold Council, to allow, this is groundbreaking news, to allow the initiative for Islamic investors to buy now, so they won't be, breaking the bylaws, which are classified as the riba way. So now you can buy gold, which is sold by weight and measure, and previously they couldn't.
Yeah, really, really interesting. And as we know, 1.3, 1.5, 1.6 billion Muslims worldwide. And a few of them, I think have some money over there in the Middle East. So it's going to be interesting to watch that impact on the market.
I want to say, put this into comparison. This reminds me of 2002, latter part of that year, when they opened the Shanghai Gold Exchange and Chinese citizens for over 40 years couldn't buy gold, and they were able to. It took a couple years before it actually, took ground, and they trusted the thing called the Shanghai Gold Exchange, because there was a distrust in China at first. I don't see that happening with the Islamic community. But as a result of 1.2 or 1.6 billion people buying gold in China and other things, the debt structure, gold doubled in just a few years after that. So this is going to be, with the Muslim being able to buy gold, it's going to cause definitely a movement upward in gold.
Yeah, which is really interesting, because traditionally, we've talked about this before, gold will track in kind of an opposite relationship with the markets. But in this case, because you're bringing so many potential new buyers in, now you can be, and I know we wanted to talk about this, and this kind of bullishness in both the stock market and the precious metals market. Is that highly unusual, David?
Well, we saw it in 2001, 2002 really, to 2007. We had a bull market in stocks. We had definitely a bull market in gold, because we had rising debt. They opened China being able to buy gold. Foreign central banks were not wanting to hold as much dollars. They started selling a little bit of dollars, but not what's happening right now. And so there was a lot of buying gold that was started to happen during that era, that six-year period of time, and it continued certainly after that, even though we had a correction in stocks in 2008. So this is, a lot of people think that you can't have a bull market in stocks and gold, but we've had this before, and we have the same components. In fact, I'm not going to give this away today, but I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. I am now writing a major white paper on six major components, and the Muslims buying gold is one of them, six major components that I'm now calling for the first time since 2005. That's the last time I ever said we're going to be in a bull market in gold, where I announced it for the first time. I'm now announcing we're a major bull market in gold. It's going to be a multi-year run. When I get this written, it'll probably be out in about 3 weeks. We can, give it out to your listeners, and this will help them understand. It's not just one thing. It's six major things that are going to cause gold to go up substantially.
Yeah, and I'm glad to use the word understand, because that's the whole point here. And David's relationship with me and with Call to Action Radio is to help inform us and give us the tools that we need so that we can be good stewards of the finances that God has placed into our care, custody, and control. And understanding is a huge part of it. We need to seek after wisdom and follow after understanding. The scriptures make that perfectly clear for all of us. Well, let's jump to the news that seems to be the news every day, which is our new president, Donald Trump, and his interaction with Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank came about as a result of the big crash in 2008 and the banking industry and the derivatives and all the crazy stuff they were doing with the mortgages back there, security backed mortgages, all that crazy stuff. So what's he doing with this? And from your perspective, is Donald Trump doing a good thing, trying to pull back on Dodd-Frank, or is he setting it up again for another banking disaster like we had in 2008?
I think there's a two-edged sword going on here. He is taking away, first of all, they're not going to be able to repeal or replace Dodd-Frank. They've tried to do this just 139 times since it's been created in 2010. So I don't think that's anything new where he's going to be able to replace it or repeal it. In fact, he hasn't said ever that he wants to replace or repeal it, but he wants to remove some components, some minor components of Dodd-Frank, and which is the lending side, the reporting requirements that banks go through that got put into play because of Dodd-Frank, a lot of government red tape that stop banks loaning money to small businesses. He wants to do away with that, and that will create another lending to small businesses, which will spur small growth, put people back to work, create healthy jobs, stimulate the economy, cause the stock market to go up. All those things go into that category. The negative, the other side of the sword, is where it's going to now create more of the things, unfortunately, that allowed the 2008 financial crisis to happen. Those are being taken away. There's no more hurdles being put there. So it's challenging from both sides. It allows banks to leverage money, and putting into perspective, Deutsche Bank from 2005 to 2015, 90% of its revenue came from leveraged money, which is what caused 2008.
Man, so some of the things that would be a problem for taking us back down the road to 2008 that you just mentioned, coming up on the break, I want to ask you what those are specifically when we come back. And there's another part of Dodd-Frank Act, which you brought up in a note to me, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And is that even a constitutional entity? And what's going on with that? And then we'll talk about a massive sell-off in treasuries that are going on and tell us what's happening right now and how that could affect us as well. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We're talking to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital at landmarkgold.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you doing Money Monday today, which normally we do the very first Monday of the month. And then the subsequent Mondays, David Fisher and I, David's from Landmark Capital, David Fisher and I do a Money Monday update, which is the last segment of the show each Monday. David was a little under the weather last week, so we're doing our first full Money Monday of the month today. And it's always great to have David with us. Landmark Capital is the organization, and David, I've got people on Facebook Live watching the show while other people are listening on the radio. And one gentleman, Troy Ackerman, said, yeah, David and Mike are great to talk with at Landmark, because I was telling the folks there what a wonderful job you guys are doing and a great relationship you have with many of our listeners. And so Troy Ackerman throwing out there a little compliment for you and Mike there at the organization. So thanks for taking such good care of us.
You're very welcome. Troy, thanks for calling our company, and my honor was talking to you in person, and I like to do that personal touch anytime I can touch base with anybody that calls in. Doesn't always happen, but had a great time talking to Troy.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we were talking a little bit about the Dodd-Frank Act, which of course was put into place after the 2008 debacle, to try to deal with the banks and try to get a rein on what happened. And of course, whenever our government's doing anything in reaction to any kind of a calamity, they tend to go overboard. And there's always a lot of pressure there, a lot of political pressure. But you were mentioning before the break, David, some things that Dodd-Frank, if they pull them out, could actually kind of start to move us a little bit more back in the direction of what happened in 2008. So what are your concerns as a guy in the financial business and obviously dealing with precious metals, but just being in the financial industry in general? What's your fear about what's going on up in D.C. right now in the Trump administration dealing with Dodd-Frank?
Well, they don't have a clear-cut pathway. There's going to be a lot of resistance, whatever they want to get done. I mean, let's put it into perspective here, and I'm glad he's in office. He was the candidate of the choice that we had that I voted for. But he wanted to repeal Obamacare within the first 100 days. That's not going to happen, maybe not even this year. He wanted to change the corporate tax structure within the first 100 days. If we get that done before September, according to Paul Ryan, that's a miracle, he said. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that the president is finding out that it takes a lot longer if it can be done at all. And so, but he says things that doesn't help him. It puts obstacles in front of him. And we could see some of those things affecting the financial markets, you know, and he's tweets about different stocks and, you know, and that is a new thing that a president has ever done. So he could say some things that might affect the market. He's been talking one time. He says the dollar should be the strongest currency on the planet. Now he says the dollar's too strong. So he sends mixed messages. And so it's hard for the market. That's why I said we're going to have a bumpy road under this administration, at least the first year. But the market should be higher at the end of the year. But we might have a correction here during this sometime in 2017 in stocks. If not, then for sure in 2018, because it's long overdue. So expect a correction. It's going to be a bumpy road. And the thing that we don't really know the thing we know for sure he's not changing is that the verbiage under the Dodd-Frank Act, where your money is no longer your money, it's still the entity that can secure that and seize that from you, called the bail-in, which is what we've been talking about. And so that's definitely still a part of the game plan of our country, unfortunately. It bleeds into the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Which we have to continue to watch all these folks up there in D.C. Like hawks. But you mentioned, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. I'm reading an article from Bloomberg, politics.com, talking about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and a concern that some of the things, rules, and even agencies under the Dodd-Frank Act may have been unconstitutional. Is this one of them?
It is not constitutional. It's totally unconstitutional. Just like the Federal Reserve is an unconstitutional thing. It broke Article 1, Section 8 in our Constitution, where only the government has the right to coin money. But in 1913, we gave over that right to private institution of bankers. And that grew, and now they have massive control, and the president has no control over the Fed. So let's look at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was created by Dodd-Frank. And according to Fox News, in a detailed report, it says that it has boundless authority to interfere in nearly any consumer financial transaction, any product in the economy, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, money in the bank, and to do so without any accountability to the American people and their elected officials. The budget comes through does not come through Congress through the annual appropriations process, but comes directly from the Federal Reserve, where it is housed. But the Federal Reserve is prohibited from exercising any oversight. The conclusion, the CFPB has unlimited power over any financial institution, any financial asset, to control anything at any point in time, and they have no governing board to keep them in accountability and in check.
I don't want any individual or any organization to have unlimited power other than the God of the Bible himself. So, especially in the hands of the federal government, what do you see as the potential danger that we face from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, David? Is it a real threat to kind of us normal folks out here in the great plains of American life?
Well, in the first month, the person who run it, Richard Cordray, he went before Congress and was petitioning Congress to see if he could manage all retirement funds. And so he hasn't stopped there. So that started back in 2012 when he became the elected official. So imagine where the direction of this is going. So we should be concerned. I am deeply concerned. And we need to pray for our president. And my hope and prayer is that somehow, some way, early on in the birthing of this entity, they decapitate its power by dismantling it and make it unconstitutional, because it clearly is. And somehow, and I don't even know how this could be done legislatively, dismantle the things where it's not even there anymore. That'd be like dismantling the Federal Reserve in 1919 or 1920. It just would be almost an impossible event. But that's what really needs to be done, and that would take away all the power, because that's really the entity that would trigger the bail-in. It's not the president, as I've done a lot of studying. And by the way, I got the sixth edition coming out back from the print shop next week of the coming bail-in, and it details and much more details on the Dodd-Frank and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and what President Trump is saying on the bail-in and all these things in a new white paper coming out. So I'm going to have a giveaway next week, but if they want to call just to get on a list to get one, make sure they're going to get one, they can do that today. But it's officially going to come, I'm going to announce it next week. But this is going to share a lot of details about this, Steve.
Yeah, and the phone number on that, 844-879-8882, since you mentioned it. 844-879-8882. Well, disturbingly, I just read this. Steve Mnuchin, who's coming in as the Treasury Secretary, said during his congressional testimony that he believed that the CFPB as a whole should be preserved, but that Congress should take more direct control of its budget. Is this just another person? And, you know, and Mnuchin was obviously in private industry before in the financial world, but for these guys to relinquish any power at all, it always seems like an impossible hill to climb. Once D.C. has power, they don't easily relinquish it.
Steve Mnuchin worked for Goldman Sachs for 17 years, so that should be enough to say what the direction of having a financial entity that wants to control people's money. So this is not a good thing, and this Steve Mnuchin is probably going to get his way. I don't agree with it because it's not representing our founding forefathers, how our country was set upon. But, you know, we've evolved as a country, and it's very socialistic, these types of laws that have been passed. And unfortunately, it's very almost near impossible to repeal them because it comes under the disguise that it does a lot of benefit. There was somewhere around $30 billion that was saved. You know, the Wells Fargo thing was caught by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. There's a lot of other things that were caught that did good for consumers, but there's this underlying foundational thing that we're talking about today of our money not being legally ours, and they can seize it. That's a fundamental issue where I have a major problem, but unfortunately it's being supported on our Secretary of Treasury and also by our president.
Yeah, and that's why we have to, you know, whether you voted for Trump or not, we have to, you know, hold all these people's feet to the fire and continue to pay attention and do our homework, because we don't want to be caught flat-footed like we've been so many times in the past. Well, we're coming up on the break, but let's tee this one off a little bit before we come back. A massive sell-off in Treasuries is going on. So what's happening there, and how long has that been happening?
Well, it's been happening since 2011, and foreigners have, in fact, there was an article, ironically, came out today even about it on MSNBC, America's biggest creditors dump treasuries in a warning to Trump. So what's happening is foreigners, even though you're not seeing the value of the dollar go down, you're seeing a sell-off of a treasury. And a treasury, Steve, is created when we are spending more money as a government than we're taking in through taxes. That's the purpose of a treasury. And there's somewhere around $7 trillion in treasuries out there, and the Fed owns about $3.5 trillion. The rest of the world owns that, and they're selling them, and we'll get into the details of that after the break.
Yeah, some more alarming news that we need to pay attention to, which we're going to do with David Fisher, our good friend from Landmark Capital, when we come back. The website is always landmarkgold.com, or their phone number, 844-879-8882. Great information and education for you there. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Sometimes I know it feels that way. We need a getaway car. Well, don't worry. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you don't need a getaway car. You have a getaway God. But even then, we don't get away from Him. He promises us a way through, not a way out. Eventually a way out. And heaven comes to earth and everything is perfected. Once again, all accounts are settled and we won't have to worry about all this crazy stuff. But in the meantime, we are called to be good stewards of all that He gives us, our time, our talent, our treasures. And one way that we can be good stewards of our treasures in terms of finances is to be educated, get ourselves informed so that we can make good decisions, especially in the topsy-turvy house of cards world that we live in, which is why we're always happy to have David Fisher, our good friend, our brother in Christ as well, and our good friend from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com, or you can give them a call at 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882. And also some great white papers, just informational papers that they make available. 10 common mistakes to avoid when purchasing physical precious metals, along with some other things. Just a lot of great information there so you can be informed and be a good steward. David, always great to have you again back on Call to Action.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Steve.
You're very welcome. So we started to talk about what's going on, this massive sell-off in Treasury. So not everybody, I'm not going to assume that everybody understands this. So when the government, the federal government, the U.S. government is selling Treasury bonds, what are we doing? What's happening when the federal government sells Treasury bonds? What are they? How do they work?
Okay, so the Treasury creates a bond because the government needs money. It's spending more money than we're taking in. So it creates this note called a Treasury bill. Then the Treasury
gets sold.
This is
how our government borrows money.
Yes.
Right.
This is how money is created. This is nothing new. It's just, you'll be amazed at when you get your arms around this thing. So it's created out of thin air against a liability. Like they took mortgages and they used those as assets and they created a Treasury called mortgage-backed securities. So the Treasury note is created, it's sold on Wall Street in an auction, and people go to Wall Street and buy a Treasury. And hopefully there's enough buyers to buy all the Treasuries. Otherwise, we have a bigger problem. So, put into perspective, in 2008, somewhere around $11 to $12 trillion in Treasuries were then, and now there's a $14 trillion in Treasuries. So we're creating more Treasuries. We're spending more. The Fed in 2008, Federal Reserve, owned about $500 billion in treasuries. Now they own $4.5 trillion. They bought a lot of our debt because no one else was there to buy it, all of it. So this is, they kind of mopped up what was left over. Foreigners are usually net buyers of the treasury. They've been selling treasuries and not buying near as many. So they're selling to put, let's do some numbers here. According to Bloomberg News, December of last year, just a few months ago, we had the largest sell-off in the history of reported numbers in a month at $70.8 billion. Now, let's put this into perspective. Our monthly deficit is $66 billion. In other words, we're spending $66 billion more a month than we're taking in as a country. So we got to create something to, where do we get that $66 billion? So we create a treasury, and we hope somebody buys it. They're not buying it. They're selling it, and they're selling at a faster rate of $70.8 billion than what we need to support the deficit of $66 billion. Put those two numbers together, we're at $136 billion going backwards real fast. This is the financial backbone structure for America, and it's broken. And this is the biggest thing I am now more concerned about. It started, the trend started very long time ago in 2011, Steve, but now it's escalated to where we're past the debt-to-income ratio. In other words, we take in less money than we spend, and that's called the GDP ratio, which is at 105%. The GDP to the debt. In other words, we're spending more money than we're taking as a country. When countries do this, they have to do something severe. And this is, it tells us, you should be asking a question. This is what the article says on MSN today. Foreigners are not trusting what's going on with the new direction of our country.
Yeah.
And so there's been this sell-off. So if there's not enough money at the Treasury and they can't buy Treasuries, this is where the bail-in, unfortunately, comes, because when the bail-in happens, the money goes to the Treasury. So this is how it ties in. I'm going to get a report out on this if you need it in writing. It's all scary details, but it's, we shouldn't be people of fear, but people who act because of, this is the reality of what right. we're facing as Christians in our country.
Yeah, and here's a quote that I just found from last year. The global financial system is built on the notion that U.S. treasuries are absolutely safe assets. Economist Doug Holtz-Eakin told CNN's Jake Tapper, if he were to put a crack in that foundation, the global financial system would crater and we would have a global economic recession. He's talking about the stability of the safe asset understanding of U.S.-backed treasuries. And it is the whole bail-in thing, which has happened in how many countries now, David?
It's happened in 9 countries, and I define it a lot clearer in the bail-in report, the revised one coming up.
Yeah, and so the government then all of a sudden, and the most notorious, I think, in recent history was in Cyprus, which overnight they went in and took whatever their local currency is, 10,000, out of people that had 100,000 balance. They took 10,000 out overnight, and you just wake up the next morning, David, and you're like, hey, I check my balance at the ATM or online, and I'm missing, you know, $10,000 or whatever the currency happens to be. Where did that go? And the government's, well, we had to take that because we're going, the ship's going down, and if we didn't take that, we couldn't survive as a nation. So we had to do that. We put an IOU in there, and we'll pay you back later. I mean, what do you do? What can your average citizen in the United States or any other country do about that? Well, given the scope and the size and the power of the federal government, it's really, really shocking and scary to think about that.
Well, you've heard of the Rockefellers before. You've probably also heard of the family called the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds are a big part of the banking industry. And one of the Rothschilds just came out recently, a month ago, and he says, as this continues to happen in central banks, and they're experimenting with our monetary policy in this way for the first time in history, it's important that investors focus on preserving their wealth. And he says, we see an interesting opportunity in gold. So here's one of the wealthiest families in the world. The Rothschilds are saying, protect yourself and also grow your money, because it's an interesting opportunity now, in gold. I would say silver also. So this is, if they flip the switch and you rolled over your IRA or 401k and you have physical possession of your metals in your hands, they can't access this money because it's no longer trading on the electronic system. And that's how all nine bail-ins were done, electronically. So this gives you a insulation from that, and it possibly could be one of the best investments because it's currently outperforming stocks almost 2-1.
Yeah, and so that, in the case of an IRA, then you actually have physical possession. Your gold, this part of your portfolio, is in your safe in your house. It's not accessed electronically, and that's the way we really need to think now. And in terms of what we do as we move forward, David, this is just a matter of kind of apportionment, isn't it? As we look at, all right, we have to have some here and some there. We got to spread the risk out, understanding that the government is moving down the road where this thing can become active overnight. But it's a matter of being well-proportioned. Is that correct?
You're exactly right. And me coming off the end of my sickness, I'm probably not as enthusiastic about everything. But inside my spirit, if people could step inside my body, there's a strong uneasiness that's happening in my spirit like never before. I didn't have it like at this level back in September of last year. But as time goes on, things are getting more unsafe all the time. And all I have to do is open your newspaper, look at what's happening and the volatility of the markets and this country selling that asset and gold going up. All those things tell us something is getting ready to happen. If you feel that in your spirit, call my company and get some information. We'll help you understand it.
Yeah, give us all the contact information one more time, please, David.
They can reach us at either landmarkgold.com or, if you want to do the traditional way, call in up and speak into the live body, 844-879-8882.
Okay, buddy, we always appreciate you. I'm glad you're feeling better. I hope you get back to 100% real soon, and then we look forward to talking to you next Monday with a Money Monday update.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. God bless you and your listeners.
Thanks, pal. God bless you, too. We'll talk again soon. And there you go. And it's really, I mean, my head spins when we do a show with David and he brings that much information, and most of it is very alarming. My head is always spinning when I get done talking to David, and you just got to, I just pray for wisdom, pray for peace, pray for calm, pray for discernment, and then get information and start to move forward. And my wife and I, Gina and I, are having to look at these things now and seriously consider what we're doing with our investments, and I'm glad I have some Christian brothers, in this case, men in my life that are experts. Steve Lewis, our buddy, who I used to do Money Monday with a couple years ago, is going to be coming back on soon, and he talks about more about the stock side of it. But for me, it's really important to take financial advice from people. And I've always been this way about business in general. Just because somebody has a fish on their business card doesn't mean they're a good businessman or a good businesswoman. But if I can find an excellent business person who also is a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, that I know is faithful to the Lord and is sowing into the kingdom, and then that's just the body politic working. That's the body of Christ taking care of one another and helping one another and serving one another. And when I can find that, I always go down that road. Whether it's house painting, like Orange Elephant House Painting here in the Raleigh area, and some Christian twin brothers, actually, that worked for me when they were in college, and I'm helping them with their business. If I can find somebody that's a believer and an excellent business person, I'm going to go down that road every time. Because you know what? We all win. And the kingdom wins. We can encourage one another and help one another. I love that. But just one more thing. Jesus talked about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions in the Gospels. An amazing 1 out of 10 verses deal directly with the subject of money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions, which is why we have David Fisher on a pretty regular basis. Again, they're at landmarkgold.com or 844-879-8882. This is Steve Noble. This is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.